Going Deeper with God. This show exists to refresh our relationships with our Father by having a place to go with Him each week. Pastor Barbara Moore and Dr. Becky Slaybaugh call upon the Holy Spirit to guide us in deeply reconnecting with God. You can learn more about Barbara and Becky at goingdeeperwithgod.org. We pray that this show helps you grow in prayer, hear the voice of God, and keep Jesus in your soul. All right, let's go deeper with God.
I want to go deeper.
Well, Becky, how are you today?
I'm doing great. And how about you?
Well, I'm looking at these Rocky Mountains with the sun shining, and it is sweet. Good day.
Oh, love it. Well, here in Phoenix, we've got, you know, pretty good weather. You know, it's cold, and I'm saying this to listeners from all over, but I think it's, what, in the 70s or 60s? So to us, that's cold, you know. What do you do? We have an exciting guest on today on Going Deeper with God, and I want to welcome all the listeners. We just bless you. You are in for a blessing. Actually, you're in for multiple blessings. We have got who I would like to introduce to you, our very special guest, Linda Wright of Hearing God Ministries. How you doing today, Linda?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Super. So glad that you're here, and we just welcome you. Listeners, I want to just share a little bit about Linda, and she's got an exciting testimony and story we're going to dive into. But first, I'd like to share, you know, Linda is a speaker and writer who has a heart to recognize, inspire, and motivate God's children. She loves to share her story of triumph over some of her life's toughest trials and her journey with the Lord, and how He brought her out of the pit. Isn't that great, Barbara? This is the kind of testimony that I love to hear. The redemptive value, you know, right?
That's right. That's awesome.
So with this, she had a determination. She said, you know what? I will never go back to what she had gone through. She knows that she goes on to say, shares she's passionate and has a mandate for the Lord to teach and equip the body of Christ on hearing God's voice, especially during our trials. So currently, Linda's burden is for those who serve the body of Christ, and she has led national pastors and leaders healing conferences that now are being held annually in Arizona. And how exciting is that? Prior to this, Linda was a missionary. Get a load of this, you guys. She was a missionary to Hollywood and co-wrote The Last Miracle, TBN, Faith TV. And not only that, but as well, she was a co-producer of the NBC hit movie A Champion's Fight, which is currently, which is great, on Lifetime TV as Shattered Hearts. Welcome. Once again, Linda, we are so excited to hear what you will be sharing today.
I am so grateful and ecstatic to be here with you.
Oh, well, we're going to just dive in. So, Linda, we want to hear more about your ministry at Hearing God Ministries.
Well, it's definitely... If you had told me 6.5 years ago that I would be in ministry, I probably just would have laughed you out of the room. But here I am because Father knows best. Amen. And I've gone through a lot of dark trials, and one of them was my children's dad. I took his life almost 13 years ago. And out of that particular hit came so many other dark trials, because it's just a road I don't want anyone to ever go down, and there's no manual on how to get through this. And during what it did to me as a person, you know, I had to find a reason to go on. And during that cry of my heart to God to give me a reason to live and give me a reason to stay here,
and show me that you're real and you really love me, he just started talking to me. And I am currently, I think, the start of my 64th journal. Wow. That is incredible. So tell me, how did you end up in Hollywood? Oh, my goodness. Well, you know what? It was just a dream coming true. I had always dreamt that as a teenager, and a lot of people do. And, you know, life goes on, and it's either good or bad, and you shove your dreams aside, and sometimes you even forget about them. But about 23 years ago, the Lord started stirring that dream again to start writing movies, and I just picked up where I left off in my teenage years with a desire to do something that would absolutely change the face of the family hour. Going back to, you know, when we were raised, it was good, healthy, wholesome shows. And these people were not around anymore, and I just had a burden, like, who's going to do this? And so he stirred the dream back up, and I just felt it was time to leave Boston and left for the other side of the country.
Wow, that is amazing. So here you are in Boston with a dream, and then the Lord put you in Hollywood. So I'd like to ask you, what else do you see God is doing with your drive and your creativity that he so lovingly and overflowingly, obviously, has given to you?
Oh, my goodness. So much that I need like four of me's at sitting at my desk. But, you know, creativity for me, because it's the way he made me, I mean, it's constant downloads. It's ideas that flash in front of me, or a visual that flashes in front of me, and I just, you know, write them down and just wait for, you know, the right time to implement that vision or God's timing and everything. So I'm currently working on a book based on excerpts of these Hearing God journals that I have been listening to from the Lord for a few years. And I'm working on that. Last year I went back to writing movies. I have about three that I would love to see the funding provided for and get them up and running. And what I want to do is I want to take true stories, things that have come right out of the headlines, but with great redemptive value and a faith that there is a God. And so the stories I'm attracted to are those stories about being in the pit and then, like I said, that redemptive work. And in April, I'm relaunching my women's ministry here in Phoenix, which is how I started in ministry. It was, I have a deep, deep heart for broken women, and I know what it's like to be one, and sometimes to have no one walk alongside you, and you feel very alone. So I have a very big passion for that. So I'm going back to women's ministry in April, and then every year in March, we have the annual Pastors and Leaders Healing Conference. And who knows what else God has for me this year. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, I just want to shout out to the listeners right now. Did you hear that when I asked her about the drive and the creativity? One of the first things that this dear woman of God said was, I'm hearing God. I'm listening. There's revelation to what Father is saying to me. I mean, that says it all right there. It wasn't, you know, she knows her creativity comes from the Lord. So rather than just jumping out, she's saying, I'm hearing, you know, I'm hearing what God's, I'm revealing through doing things through what God is sharing me, and I'm hearing that. And that's what I love about her ministry, of Hearing God Ministries. She hears from God. She is qualified to teach and preach, and along with the passion that she has and the compassion. I mean, listen, this is incredible. And I just want you guys to keep hanging in there, because she's got so much more to share. And, you know, I'd like to just deep dive into what one thing happened to you in your early life that actually shaped your destiny? Oh, my goodness. What one thing shaped my life? Well, I can't really look back on my childhood and tell you that anything great happened, but perhaps what I could say is because of my horrific upbringing and the kind of abuse I suffered, the physical abuse I suffered, and the many times that I just wanted to die and not be here, I continue to be here against my will. And I can look back now and say, God had his hand on me. And the enemy was trying to take me out because he knew how big God would use me for God's kingdom and against the kingdom of darkness. And so I would say, even though it sounds like the darker part of my life, it's still God shaping me. It helped me to realize that there is a God. And as much as he seems a million trillion miles away to us at times, that if we would just take the time to sit and find out who he is and figure out who he is so you can grab on to his character and his truth and his love, it's amazing. And but I have to say that's the only thing that I can really think of, because life for me seriously did not start until I turned 50.
Interesting.
Wow. That is fascinating. But there's wisdom, you know, as well in what you're sharing, because there's all these experiences, how you've processed it, how you've gained wisdom through all of this. You know, there's no regrets, but instead there's treasures. And you are a redemptive pearl. I appreciate you sharing this, because this isn't the kind of thing that you hear or very rarely even read about, as far as how you've taken the past with no regrets, you've identified it, you've walked through it, you didn't get over it, you walked through it and said, here is the redemption. Barbara, what do you think?
I think that I'm hearing, you know, as you're speaking, Linda, that God met you, you said, and spoke to you in a time of trial, and that what do you think it is in you that really causes you to go towards God and not away from God?
Well, I can say as of today, it is a desire to be fully obedient. It is a desire to be fully submissive to his will and his knowledge. And that desire to make sure that I'm always on the right path, on the right page, doing the right thing with the right people at the right time, makes me sit on his lap for an hour every night saying, okay, how did I do today? I think I messed up here. How did I do? You know, tell me you love me. So-and-so called me, and they've got a question for me. You know, how do I answer them? You know, see, people take Scripture too lightly, ladies. And the Bible says in the book of Psalms that the steps of the righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And we skirt over that. But I was able to go, God took me deeper with that and said, how are you going to know what your steps are unless you ask me?
Interesting. So we're about halfway through Going Deeper with God today with Linda Wright from Hearing God Ministries. And we hope, listeners, that you can catch up to what we've been talking about. So continue on, Linda, about how you were sitting in God's lap and meeting with him.
I can't imagine a night without doing that. And there are some nights where, you know, you get home at 11 o'clock at night and I look up and I was like, you know, I'm sorry, not today, Lord. I got to go to bed. I'm not super human.
Yeah.
But every night I try to set an hour on my phone with it off in my bedroom with the door closed, sitting on my pillow with the journal, and just talk to me. And sometimes he has so much to say. It's like he opens up the floodgates and I can't even write things down fast enough. It's like talking to you two right now. It's like talking to a friend over a cup of coffee at the local coffee shop. Mm. It's that easy to tap into. And we've been trained wrong. And I was one of them. I was trained that God talks to you once in a while.
that, you know, it's really hard to hear his voice. And I was taught all of these things. And shame on them that taught me that, because I learned that he's always talking to us. Mm. It is us that refuse to find the time or refuse to make time in our schedule for the very Creator who says, I've got great things for you. But if you don't take the time to sit and listen, you're probably going to go through the wrong door down the wrong path at the wrong time with the wrong people. Or you may not even go through a door at all. Because you're just too busy. And I can't imagine not sitting on the lap of the Father and having Jesus himself tell you how much he loves you. And even sometimes, you know, I really don't like what you said to this person today. And of course it's not just ask for forgiveness, but it's being rebuked. The Bible says he disciplines us because he loves us.
Mm. Yes.
And it reminds me, I have called you to great things. You can't do that anymore. You need to be just like my son. It's life-changing.
Wow.
Absolutely. This is incredible. Just listening to this, Pastor Barbara, this is amazing to hear the heart of God and how he's poured it into the heart of Linda. Now, Linda, I'm going to touch on something really sensitive that you shared a little bit about at the beginning here. I'd like for you to share with the listeners who might have had someone they know or a family member or a friend who's lost a loved one to suicide. What is their redemption in this terrible situation? If you'd be so kind to share, we just have a few minutes left. If you could just touch on that and share with us where is that redemptive pearl?
Well, I guess for me now, my redemptive pearl is that all three of my children are alive, 13 years later, alive and well and functioning well as adult human beings, and that's all glory to God, because I can only look at them and say to my heart, my Father kept them alive, because suicide is incredibly contagious, and I've never experienced this in my life, never mind their dad, and it's incredibly contagious, and one pastor very quickly gave me a sound bite of wisdom, and he said, Satan loves to try and do this and create chaos and wreak havoc in a family. Be spiritually on guard. Sound advice, took it to my heart, and started crying out to God, you're the father to the fatherless. I can't keep them alive. They're all over the country, but you can, and you promised me you would because you're now their father. And for the first year, they were on suicide watch, and I was a single parent, and still a single parent. You know, I got the man in heaven. When he wants to bring me another husband, then fine, But it was just me and the man. And just on my knees, fighting for my children, fighting for the generation that I gave birth to, knowing that they're all called, and telling the enemy, there is no generational curse of suicide in this family, in the name of Jesus.
So, Linda, you said that suicide seemed to be contagious in some way. So can you explain that to us a little bit more, to the listeners? And listeners, for those of you that have, this is really so sensitive to your heart, we just reach out to you with our hearts. And so, Linda, share with us a little bit more. What do you mean by when you say it's contagious?
When their dad made this horrific decision to end his life. And he taught his children how to bail when life got too hard and when they couldn't handle the pain.
Okay.
Because suicide is a trickling effect down through so many avenues of life and family and friend, and because there's never an answer and there's never... and then this tremendous amount of guilt. Well, I wish I had known, and or I didn't know, and if I had loved him more, he wouldn't have done it. And it's a mind storm, it floods everybody 24/7 because you can't fathom somebody making that decision.
And how did you
to do something?
And how did you turn them around, or were you able to turn them around in terms of the thought and that, you know, what they had heard from him?
Well, in a way, yes, and no, but I did it in the way the Spirit led me, and I just looked up it because they all blamed God. They all blame God. He could have stopped him and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I just had to look up at my Heavenly Father and say, you know what? There is nothing I can say or do that's going to change my children's hearts right now. You have to do this. This is bigger than me.
Okay, so explain to the listeners, because you are a pastoral person right now, just explain from the bottom and the top of your heart, when you want to blame God, how is he the Redeemer in the middle of all of this? What do you want to say in the name of Jesus?
I would say in the name of Jesus, I would say to them exactly where God brought me. And he brought me to a point of making me understand that he was with their dad when he made this decision. And oh, how his cries and his tears in heaven, watching this go on with his child, was so much more deeper than we could ever imagine. And he helped me put my hurt in perspective. Because he showed me he wasn't alone. They're never alone. God is with all of us until our dying breath. And then the rest of what happens in eternity is based on our decisions, or lack of, if you will. But he shared with me his pain. And I used that pain that he shared with me to help my children cope and finally get to a process of healing. And I will say, there's not complete healing 13 years later. There are still children that, although they're functioning and doing very well, there's still a hurt and a gnawing in their heart that they can't grasp still because of what their dad did. And it's a constant battle every day for me in warfare to come against rejection and abandonment. Because that is what a parent leaves their child when they do this. He didn't love me enough. I wasn't good enough. I wasn't smart enough. And those things are the farthest. See, I've known their dad since I was 14. We were together 30 years. And not all of it was married, but doesn't matter. I knew that he would never willingly harm or try to destroy his children. But he was in so much pain and shame that he just couldn't figure any way out. And I remember my son coming to me one day. He's my oldest. He said, Mom, if you knew that Dad was in trouble, what would you have done? I said, Son, I would have put him on a plane and brought him over to us. Because we were not together at the time this happened. And he said, that's all I wanted to know, Mom. If you would have been there for Dad. I said, the last thing I said to Dad was, I love you. 3 days before he passed, he said, I love you. I said, I love you. We hung up the phone and went on about our lives. So the love was still there.
You never, the love of God, and even upon your family in so many different ways, never left you. It sounds like that's really what you're sharing today. Is that right?
It is. It is, and because of what's tried to happen in my family since then, and the decisions that my children have made that were just sickening to me as a mom, and again, I went through another hell with all of that after the original one when he killed himself. But I've realized God has shown me, being the first born again Christian in my on both sides of the family, that I am God's redemptive work in my bloodline. And so now it makes even more sense that the enemy is trying to wreak havoc in my family because he doesn't want to see any of us get to where we're supposed to go.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Linda. This has been fantastic. This has been redemptive. And we would just like to pray for the listeners And for Linda of Hearing God Ministries, we just thank you, Father, for this time. And we just bless the listeners and the impartation of healing. We bless them. We're going to hear from her next week as well. Pastor Barbara, do you want to share what we have for next week?
Yes, we have some more encouragement and joy for your heart in getting to know Linda Wright of Hearing God Ministries, because she has shared some of her life with us today. But she's going to continue to share some things about her 2016 National Pastors and Leaders Healing Conference, and that's national, and there's like 1,000 people that go there for refreshing. So you're going to learn about that. You're going to learn some more things about Linda's heart to minister in apostolic and visionary ways. And most of all, listeners, right now, we just want to encourage you to remember what Linda said about lap time. Special time each week with the Lord. Tune in next week to Going Deeper with God. Dr. Becky Slaybaugh, Pastor Barbara Moore, and our special guest, Linda Wright of Hearing God Ministries, we love you and we bless you. Amen.